Are we live? Are we here? Of course we are. Listen, I know we missed you yesterday, and you missed us yesterday, but we're glad to be back. At least I'm glad to be back. Chris Halleck will be joining pretty soon here. And a good afternoon, everybody. A good Tuesday afternoon. April 16th, 2024 for the Southside Beat. As we are, 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on DK Pittsburgh Sports. My name is Corey Crisson. I found this Pirates hat, and it reminds me, like, the first player I think of when I see this old, like, Buccaneer logo, I couldn't really give you the exact name of it, is Jason Kendall, like, the early 2000s Pirates hat, and I figured I'd wear it for the show today. I like it a lot, and it still fits pretty decently. But let's talk a little football. Yes, Randy, everybody, I think except Chris, is present and accounted for, but he will be joining us pretty shortly. When you're selling a house, I think Chris is going through the ringer when it comes to all that. So he will be joining us soon. The draft is almost here. 1 week from Thursday, approximately 9 days from today, the UPMC Rudy Sports Complex will be hopping with the NFL draft. And of course, that takes place in Detroit. But myself and DK will be on the south side for all of the coverage. Mark, thanks. I want to know, since Mark brought up the hat as well, it's, again, the old Pirates hat with, like, the baseball bats crossing over the Pirate head logo. I want to know who, like, the first player you think of from that era is. Because for me, it's Jason Kendall. And again, I was thinking about this too. Like, Kevin Young is another name that came to my head for some reason. So those are the two players. But for football's sake, OTAs, it would be the off-season workout program. So volunteer workouts started today. So OTAs aren't until May, as DeMond asks about OTAs. So an important visit was made today on the UPMC Rudy Sports Complex. And that is Graham Barton, the offensive lineman out of Duke, Derek Bell. That's a great callback, Barber. Great call on that one. Derek Bell is a good name to bring up. Duke offensive lineman Graham Barton comes to the south side today to visit, and the final touches are being put on the draft board, right? These are the couple of weeks where, you know, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, Andy Weidel, the Steelers front office really sit down and figure out who they're going to prioritize and when they're going to prioritize them. Now, if you looked at my story today on DKPittsburghSports.com, you know, I talked about day two wide receiver options and who the Steelers might be looking at as far as that position goes, because just look at who they've brought in for these top 30 visits on the south side. It's mainly offensive and defensive linemen, and now Graham Barton contributes to that. And as Sebastian here says, Barton feels like the best center coming out of the draft for some reason. So here's the intrigue about Graham Barton. He played most of his college career at tackle, left tackle specifically at Duke. He played center, I believe it was as a freshman, and then moved over to tackle full time. But scouts and those that are looking at this draft are looking at Graham Barton, and they're thinking of him more as an interior offensive lineman, more as a center, someone that can kind of get dirty up the middle and play that way. And they like Barton's frame for that. They like his strength for that. They like him more projection-wise as a center in the NFL. So, look, there might be some coaching up that has to do, but athleticism-wise, he's definitely more athletic than Jackson Powers-Johnson, definitely more athletic than Cedric Van Praad, definitely more athletic than Zach Frazier. And he's very versatile, and John takes the words right out of my mouth, very versatile as an offensive lineman. And we know that Mike Tomlin likes what is considered to be positionless football players. But Omar Khan likes positionless football players. So with all of that being said, yeah, of course they're going to look at Graham Barton. Now, bringing him in as the Jackson Powers-Johnson, Zach Frazier trifecta, if you will, the Steelers hit on all of that when it comes to the pre-draft visits. They're looking in depth at the center position and at guys that can play interior. Of course, as Chris reported last week, they're prioritizing tackle, as they probably should. They do need another tackle. And look, Greg brings it up here. No projects, please. Draft a center like Frazier. If you want somebody that's center ready, so to speak, yeah, Zach Frazier's probably more prepared to do that right now. But if they feel strongly enough about Barton's athleticism and his ability to play inside, then yeah, they're going to take a hard look at him. And Randy brings it up here. Physical, nasty, and strong in the ground game. Really good run blocker. And again, if they want to keep that identity consistent, even with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, if they want to keep Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren running up the middle, literally, or have them running, period, yeah, they got to find somebody that specializes somewhat in run blocking up the middle and someone that can maintain all of that. John asks, how many teams besides the Steelers need a center? So the center market is fascinating because in free agency, it's almost as if the majority of the teams, if not all the teams that were ahead of the Steelers in the draft, picked up a center in some capacity. A team entering free agency that had me worried was the Rams, who picked at 19, right ahead of the Steelers at 20. And up until a couple of weeks ago, they didn't really address the center position. They went and got somebody in free agency and really freed all of that up. And a team that's intriguing in that scope as well is the Dolphins, right behind the Steelers, who arguably need a center still. So there are teams that are still in need of centers, but the majority of them, if not all of them now, are behind the Steelers in the draft. So when you look at Dallas, when you look at Miami, when you look at some of those teams that are in that like 21 to 28 range as far as draft picks go, those are the teams that now need centers in addition to the Steelers. But you could argue that the Steelers are pretty, I can't say they're bolted down to drafting a center within the first round, but they're also pretty much foregone that they're going to go and address that position as we welcome in. Let me get the right overlay up here as we welcome our friend Chris Halleck. Hey, Chris.
What's up?
I was telling the masses when the show started, selling a house is more on the phone than you probably would like.
Oh my God. You have no idea. And the thing is that it's not even listed yet. Like we're still like, I was just on the phone with my roofer because we have to get the roof replaced on our house before we do. I mean, before we get it on the market, because you don't want like to put your house in the market and be like, oh yeah, by the way, the roof's going to be replaced. And people are like, okay, well, what else is wrong with the house? You know? And in today's day and age with all the, with the rates going up again, and you don't want to give buyers any reason to think that something's wrong with your house. So if you just put it on the market and it's got, hey, brand new roof, brand new carpets, brand new this, brand new that, you're like, hey, this looks like a pretty good deal for you for a pre-owned home. Let's do it. So all right, let's talk football
real quick. I wore the retro Pirates hat today. Who's the first player that comes to your mind when you see like this? And if you can't really tell on camera, Brian Giles, good pick. I said Jason Kendall. We got a couple Derek Bells in the chat. That was my head. This is like that mesh that like, you know, like very light material from early 2000s. I dug this up today and decided to wear it. All right. So we're talking about Graham Barton making his grand entrance to the South Side, and how, number one, it just adds to more of the Steelers are really hammering offensive linemen in this entire process. And number two, now I think it's a good time to bring up that this late in the process, I believe this is visit number 29 out of 30 that's allowed. So this late in the process, the Steelers are bringing in Graham Barton, and they're really doing their homework, you know, up to the last minute in the midnight hour. That's why the show title is Final Draft Preparations.
Yeah.
So we're at go time now with 9 days left until the draft. And to me, the timing of bringing Graham Barton in after Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier have already visited is so intriguing to me.
Yeah. Graham Barton's been a name that's been, you know, climbing up draft boards, you know, quite a bit. You know, his stock's been on the rise consistently for a while now. And I think, you know, obviously when you talk about a guy who's not necessarily played the position, you know, doesn't have a lot of experience at the position that he'd be drafted for, there's some trepidation there. And so I understand that, but you know, I don't think, you know, when a bunch of NFL teams are going into a draft like this and they're all identifying him as an interior lineman or even as a center, I think that just should go ahead and tell you that the guy can play there. Like, they believe the guy can play there. And it's not, this isn't just like, oh, just the Steelers and maybe one other team think that. Like, no, like, this is a guy who's going to be able to play there. And you know, you have certain, obviously they you know, can't put him through the ringer, and they can't put him in actual football situations and be like, okay, play center for us for an entire practice or something like that. You know, that's not what these pre-draft visits are for. But one of the ways that they get to know guys in these types of meetings is you find out how coachable the guy is. And that could make a team feel a lot better about getting a guy in which either they're, you know, we're talking about a guy who played tackle in college and who's going to be moving to the interior, or, you know, anything else. You want to find out, or if it's a guy who maybe isn't as polished as some of the other prospects, you know, they want to find out how coachable a guy is, you know, how he responds to, you know, to correction and needing to get better and to change his technique, change whatever it is with his hands or his footwork or all of the above. You know, they want to find out how easy it's going to be, or if it's going to be a grind, how, you know, if these guys resist coaching, you know, it might not be a guy that they're going to put high up on their board. And so these type of meetings, you're going to find out more about him because the athleticism is off the charts when it comes to Barton. And so if they can get a guy, especially if Arthur Smith does continue to employ a wide zone system, and tackle doesn't work out in the first round, like, Graham Barton's a potential guy that you could look at there just because of the fact that, hey, you know, that's a uber athletic guy that you could have in the middle of your offensive line.
Now, here's I guess a good question that I would have is, well, at least it's a question. A question that I would have is, how translatable is what Barton was able to do at Duke, which is he played a lot of tackle in the last 3 years of his career. And how translatable is that to a current modern day ready to play center in the NFL? It was brought up in our comments earlier before you got in that, you know, might not need a project at this time, at least with respect to Graham Barton. So I guess what the Steelers would be vetting is how ready is he to play center week one of the 2024 season versus how much coaching up would Pat Meyer and company have to do with him, I guess.
Yeah. I, again, if I don't think there would be a widespread consensus that this guy can play center in the NFL if there weren't multiple teams, like significant number of teams that thought that he could do this. And because, you know, Graham Barton isn't the first guy to do this. There's been a lot of guys. I think there was even a guy last year out of like North Dakota. What was the guy's name? The redheaded dude, long hair.
Cody Mock. Cody Mock.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Cody Mock. Like, he was transitioning from a tackle to interior, you know, this happens, you know, pretty frequently. So it's, you know, obviously, and listen, Cody brings up a good point here. If he can snap the ball, he's going to be a beast. Listen, snapping the ball, especially in today's NFL, is a big deal. You know, with all the, shotgun and pistol that NFL teams run nowadays, you have to be able to snap the ball, in shotgun. And because, shoot, man, like even if the Steelers don't run a bunch of it, you know, who says that, you know, if Graham Barton is the guy that they draft, who says he's going to play for the Steelers for his entire career? He may end up then going to another team that runs 80% out of the shotgun, you know, or 80% out of shotgun / pistol, and they're only under center 20% of the time. So he's got to be able to get that down. So, you know, obviously, you know, there are some things that he's got to, you know, that teams have to know. Can he snap the ball? You know, and obviously playing tackle and playing, you know, on the interior is a bit different, but he's got the athleticism for it and he's got the good size for it. I don't see a lot of concern when it comes to this, just because, again, it's not like Graham Barton is the first, you know, guy to be like, oh, wow, this guy's transitioning from tackle to the interior. Like, no, this happens every year.
Right. A couple questions here. John asked, do you think the Steelers will draft two wide receivers? That's a great question. I don't know if they'll draft two within the first 2 days.
No, I'd be shocked if they did that. They have too many holes to fill.
I would say they take one day two, which I wrote about again today on DKPittsburghSports.com. A lot of day two receivers that are very worthy of being selected at either of the three selections that the Steelers have in this draft on day two. So I think that one for sure gets taken on day two. It depends on how high they are on Brian Thomas or Adonai Mitchell, honestly.
Yeah.
On what they do on 20. Like, I get it, they're vetting a ton of offensive linemen and their priority is offensive line, specifically tackle. But if they fall in love with Brian Thomas or Adonai Mitchell, they'll just take them. Like, that's part of the beauty of the first round. If there's a player they're so high on, they could just take them. And it does address a need right away. Now, I think we talked about this when we did our mock draft. Like, we got to a point where Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame was available, and I know that's a name the Steelers brought in as well. So do you weigh the possibility of, let's say it's Amarius Mims and Malachi Corley, or Brian Thomas and Blake Fisher? Like, weigh that out. Like, what's greater in that situation? Like, that's a thing they'll have to do. And look, if they pass on a tackle at 20, for whatever reason, they better have a plan for 51 and or 84
and then 98 in the third round. 98,
yeah. Thank you. So they better have a plan for those two rounds or else they're going to be screwed. Or rather, Dan Moore is going to be cemented in at left tackle. Broderick Jones is going to play right tackle. That's the alternative option if a tackle's not selected within that. But also wide receiver, they have to address it at some point. Mm-hmm. Now, whether they draft two wide receivers or not, I think it's contingent on what happens on day two. Because I think one gets taken regardless on day three, just to fill depth. Like, I would feel more comfortable with, I know they brought in Luke McCaffrey, and we know the Steelers love family. We know they love families. Like, if Luke McCaffrey was drafted in the fifth or sixth round, I wouldn't bat an eye, even if they took one in the second or third round.
This is not a knock on Blake Fisher whatsoever. I actually think he could end up becoming a pretty decent NFL tackle. But I think, you know, I'm seeing it in the comments, but I'm also just, you know, you browse social media, you see comments on YouTube and different things, and you know, when you're watching or you read comments on like mock drafts and stuff like that. And I think there's a good portion of Steelers fans that are just happy to, you know, put tackle off until the second or third round. And I'm not saying that if the Steelers do that they're in the wrong or anything like that. But the later they go when it comes to addressing tackle, especially when you do consider whether, regardless of what happens with Dan Moore, he's going to the last year of his contract. They're going to have to figure out somebody to play with Broderick Jones.
Yeah.
And so the later they go in terms of addressing tackle, the higher the chances are that you run into this this never ending cycle of Broderick Jones was really the first one to kind of break it, but let's get a tackle in the third round. Let's get a tackle in the fourth round. Let's get a tackle in the sixth round. Let's get a tackle in the fifth round. Let's, you know, and how many of those tackles actually stuck? Like you've had a few, but like, I don't know. I really think, and maybe it's just because I know the team is prioritizing tackle, and that's why I'm trying to make sense of it in my head. Mm-hmm. But I think they understand just how important that position is. And Josh Dobbs says here, says if there's a blue chip right tackle, you take him in the first. And I get that, and I understand the trepidation of you know, taking a guy like Amarius Mims at 20th, mm-hmm. just because of the lack of inexperience. Some people are calling him a project. And I think I even used that word when we were doing a mock draft. I think the term project is a little unfair with Mims. I just think it's lack of experience with him. Yeah. He only started 8 games. If he would have put the same film up with double the snaps, the dude would be a potential top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Like, he's just got that kind of ceiling. And so I do also see the other side of it and think like, okay, you know, if it's between like Mims and Graham Barton, I understand a lot of fans who would want Graham Barton there because you're like, okay, he's a guy, or you know, Jackson Powers Johnson or whoever, like some sort of center that could be right there immediately, be a day one guy, while Mims is like, maybe he's not a day one guy because he's, you know, even Broderick Jones wasn't a day one guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this guy, you know, doesn't, you know, he's going to take a year or two to figure things out. So I get that, but I think that it's a bad idea to just automatically assume we can just get Blake Fisher in the third round.
Like, sure.
To me, that's kicking the can down the road at tackle when you don't have to. They need to get out in front of it now because Dan Moore is going to the last year of his deal.
It's true. Sebastian says, don't underestimate Dylan Cook. That's your emergency quarterback right there. Your emergency quarterback. Here's a thought from Cody. Would you be okay with this? If this is how the draft shook out for the Steelers, would you be fine with this? Graham Barton, Malachi Corley, Blake Fisher, 1, 2, 3.
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Not a fan.
I was just curious.
I don't really like the nothing against Blake Fisher. But if you get Blake Fisher in the third round with that 84th pick, those first two picks better be a slam dunk. And I'm talking like Brian Thomas in the first round.
And like then, Cooper DeJean maybe, or
like some sort of stud at a skill position. Yep. Or it's got to be like, I don't.
Let me ask you this.
Really, Corley in the second round to me, there are like four or five other receivers that I'd prefer to see in the second round over Malachi Corley.
I'd say Roman Wilson would get picked at 51.
Roman Wilson
over Corley, if he's there.
Pearsall, like there's a number of guys. Sure. I don't think Corley at 51. I think that's way too high for him.
Franklin out of Oregon, really good. They're scouting him too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, look, if it shook out Barton, Corley, Fisher, like you would have to, the Steelers would have to guarantee a strong word that Blake Fisher's it. Like they would have to be damn sure that Blake Fisher's it. They had him in for a visit,
so they'll have a better idea of him.
They would have to vet that so hard. Like again, I ask, and let me put it this way, okay?
Yeah.
Is the sum of Amarius Mims and Cedric Van Pran greater than the sum of Graham Barton and Blake Fisher? That's the question. That's part of the equation of this, right? Or the sum of Graham Barton and tackle B. Is it greater than the sum of Amarius Mims and center B or C? Now, if Zach Frazier is the pick at 51, or if they trade up to get him, then we're talking something different.
Yeah.
So, these are the things they're weighing. This is why they bring in players for visits. This is why they do this. Again, yeah. I bring up the example last year. Christian Gonzalez walks into the Southside for a visit, and they take him off the draft board afterwards because they didn't like the visit. They didn't like the vibe they got off the visit, whatever it was. Medicals were good. Freak of nature. What was he? Top 15, top 16 pick. And okay, he got hurt. But point is, like, he was still a top 16 or so pick.
Well, he was considered by a lot of people to be the top corner in the draft.
Right.
Even though he wasn't the first one taken. But going,
if he didn't get hurt, draft, who knows? We'll see what happens this year.
Yeah.
But again, you have to consider the sum and the parts, I think. And of course, they're doing that somewhat, but you have to get the parts right in order to get the sum even close. Ladd McConkey is a name that Sebastian brings up. Ladd McConkey will not be there at 51. If he's there at 51,
you want to talk about a replacement for Deontay Johnson, man. There you go.
If Ladd McConkey's there at 51, you sprint to the podium. You don't ask questions.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen. So, but again, like I find this all fascinating because at 20, the Steelers could go multiple directions. Like we're not talking about, this isn't a Washington Commanders podcast where it's okay, Drake Mavers, Jaden Daniels, and we sit here until the cows come home talking about two quarterbacks, because it's so foregone that they're going to take two quarterbacks. Or yeah, this isn't a Bears podcast where we're talking about Caleb Williams at one, and like that's the foregone pick. Like the fact with the Steelers is they could go in one of a few different directions at 20, and it would probably be okay. Talking about offensive tackle, center, wide receiver, cornerback. Even if like Johnny Newton or Murphy from Texas are there for the defensive interior, again, it's a matter of how high they are on these guys. If they're so high on one of those guys, then they're there at 20, then okay. And that's what they feel. And D-line is a position they could use some help on. So look, I think what we're saying is, like, even though we know that they're looking at offensive line as a priority for 20, they could create their own luck. They could create their own draft, so to speak. You know how they say, like, let the draft fall to them or kind of set the tone for the draft. They could set their own tone for their own draft just based on the position they take at 20. And I think that's fascinating that they have so many different options to do in the first round.
I got to respond to something here. Kawhi says Fields throwing is horrendous, spin and all. Are you kidding me? Have you seen him throw a deep ball?
I'll let you take this one.
That dude, Justin Fields throws a heck of a deep ball, man. I don't know what, like, I got a chalk talk on it, man. Go look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. Shoot, man, there was a video on social media of him throwing a pass, and like he was trying to throw it over the crossbar of a soccer net, and it like he put it in like the perfect spot where the ball like barely grazed the crossbar, but it didn't even graze it hard enough to stop the spiral or anything like that, and it just went right to the guy. It was like literally like perfect placement. But there was a comment up here that I wanted to put up here. What's your perfect A+ draft scenario look like? To me, it would have to be tackle in the first round, like significant. I'm talking like however you get, like ideally, if you can get Fuaga, Faltano, however you say his name, I can't.
I always botch it, yeah. So don't ask me. I'm not the one to ask.
One of those guys, maybe lay them, like I'd say one of those three. If you can get one of those guys without trading up, great. But if you have to trade up without giving up any draft capital in this particular draft or any significant, like you can keep those four picks in the first three rounds. To me, that is the start of that, because then what you can do, well, Pittsburgh Hornets says Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, obviously. Caleb trade, Williams would be A+.
Just,
you know?
Trade up to fifth overall, yeah, and get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
So that to me would be, I think at that point, if they were to somehow get one of the tackles that would really, really fit with them.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Fuaga, Faltano, or Latham.
Yeah.
I think either one of those three guys, if they can, that, because then if they can keep their draft capital, keep that second and two thirds that they have, then they can go almost any direction at that point.
Yeah.
And then I would like, ideally, you know, you get possibly a receiver in the second round, but I don't, at that point, I don't like just, I even had like something in my live cues or something on the site where someone was like, what if you take a receiver in the second round and then address center or whatever in the third round? I'm like, I want to try to encourage people to get out of the thought of you have to take a certain position in this round, certain position in this round. Like, and it all depends on, and I understand, like, I'm, you know, stressing tackle in the first round, but I'm doing that because number one, tackle, that's a premium position to take in the first round, and I know that the team is prioritizing that. It might not work out. They might have to pivot in a different direction.
Yeah.
But especially after the first round, the further and further you get into the draft, you can't just be like, got to take a center in this round. Like, if they do, like, for whatever reason, let's say they go tackle receiver in the first two rounds, like, okay, well, we still don't have a center, we need one. And then by the time 84 comes around, let's say Van Pran's already gone, and now you got to take the next best guy. Well, we got to get a center. See, that's reaching. That's handcuffing yourself. That's not, that's how you have bad drafts. That's how you have, you know, bad draft picks, and third round picks are too valuable to be wasted on reaching for a position.
Let me simplify this for you. Okay. For me, I guess, my A+ draft would be if Zach Frazier fell to them at 51 and they didn't have to move up to get him.
Yeah.
If they didn't have to move up to get him and wouldn't have to use a third round pick on him, it could go for that receiver depth. Like, if Zach Frazier is truly their guy at center and is their priority over Powers Johnson and Van Pran or even Barton, if somehow Frazier fell to 51, we did the mock draft last week. We ran it twice, one off camera, one on camera. Mm-hmm. And both times Frazier was gone before what, 42? He went like 39 and 42.
I think the one we did on camera, he went a little later, but either way, it was before the Steelers picked.
Stick with me here. So yeah. Regardless of what they do in the first round, if it's tackle or wide receiver or even D-line or corner, if they can somehow bookend, you know, that if they could bookend and then get Zach Frazier at 51 and not have to give up anything to get him, That's a slam dunk to me because they would be able to address one of those positions in the first round that is of a high priority, which let's say for the sake of conversation, it's tackle. If it's tackle at round one and they feel confident about Frazier or confident that he's going to be there at 51 and they don't have to move to get him, they could sit back and plan for round three. And if those first two picks without having to trade up are whatever tackle and then Frazier and then whatever other position. So you could group wide receiver, cornerback, D line in this third round with those two picks. The board's theirs. The board's theirs. We're talking about another situation like last year where they were aggressive in getting Broderick Jones and then Joey Jr. fell into their lap to open day two. And then the rest was you know, the con artist nickname, right?
Yeah.
So to me, the A-plus comes if they can get Zach Frazier at 51 and don't have to give up anything to get him. Because they would be having their cake and eating it too. In those regards, a couple quick ones I wanted to bring up from the comments before we get out of here. Randy asked, do we think we have a number one wide receiver on our roster? George Pickens, can we have two number ones? I think it's too early to tell on George, which is why the conversation about a potential wide receiver at 20 is there. Like, I think it's still too early to tell on George Pickens as to whether he's a true number one or not. What say you?
I think he's a number one guy. He's a number one receiver. Okay. I mean, if the Steelers go into the season with him as the number one guy, that to me is not a concern. The talent's there. Like, are there some things he can improve on? Sure. Like, yeah, he can improve as a route runner a bit. But the ability is off the charts, and he's like pull up his stats from last year, even like shoddy quarterback play. For the majority of the, I mean, for his entire career, he's had what we've seen for the past two seasons in terms of quarterback play. It's been pretty terrible, and he's still been able to be a difference maker. You know, he's found a way to shoot. Just last year, man, 1,140 yards and 5 touchdowns. By the way, that's 1,140 yards on 63 catches.
Oh, sure,
like
I get that.
Like that. That's. I mean, that he led the NFL with 18.1 yards per catch. Like that's ridiculous to me. And no, I think if Russell Wilson even is the same exact quarterback that he was in Denver last year, which is not necessarily what the Steelers would like to have at, but it's better than what they've had, then George Pickens to me is a Pro Bowler, maybe even good enough to be like second team All Pro. Mm-hmm. Maybe that might be pushing a little bit, but the dude is immensely talented, and I think he's been able to put enough together at the NFL level where if he's the being relied on to be the number one guy, I think they can get it done. I do think either way they've got to upgrade that room with a really talented guy, whether that is an established guy. I know everybody's falling in love with the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors. Those are heating back up. It is what it is. But you know, whether it's that or it's, you know, Hunter Renfrow or whoever else at the NFL level, or if they get a guy here in the draft, if it's you know, first round guy and it's like Brian Thomas, or if it's more third round guy and it's Malachi Corley, then yeah, I do. It's just, I mean, like they do need more talent there. But in terms of George Pickens, if he's the number one guy, I have no concerns whatsoever. Mm-hmm. None.
I just caught wind of this, and I think we'll save this for tomorrow because it's more of an expanded discussion. Peyton Wilson also visited the Steelers today.
Mm.
Linebacker out of NC State.
Yeah.
So that would make 30 out of 30. And to my knowledge, that's the first non-wide receiver, offensive line, defensive lineman, cornerback that have visited the Steelers on top 30. So that's a discussion for tomorrow. We're going to get out of here today. I will not be here Friday, just personal reasons. Will not be here. You'll have Chris on Friday, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk some more NFL draft. Thursday, I think, is a good time to do another mock. 1 week out, why not? I think probably Thursday we could do another 3-round mock over here. So I'm writing my mock draft, my one of one on Thursday. So I think it'd be a good time to have a mock draft on Thursday. So we'll do that then. And then we'll get ready for next Thursday. Big day, big weekend on the South Side with the NFL draft. So for now, he's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Christen. And this has been the Southside Beat. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.